Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 126, and today's date is September 5th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by Kent. Kent, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I got some nuts on my lap. And some M&M's and stuff. Yeah, I got like a sweet and salty trail mix. Don't look at me like that. Don't. Hey, on the plus side, you get to talk a lot this week because Russ nor Steve is here. Like, this is going to be your shining moment.
And the expectations have already been set way too high for me. I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. But now I want trail mix.
Yeah. Actually, interestingly enough, I believe, I don't know if you can see this, but the up here in the corner, it's actually K-A-R-apostrophe-S, so it's almost, you know, your name. This was meant for you.
Where did you get that?
I don't know. I feel like maybe, actually, I don't know. It's definitely not from Walmart, possibly from, like, it's too big from the dollar store. I don't know. I have no idea where... I'm forgetful.
I'll internet search it later.
All right.
So for our first time listeners and those who haven't listened to us in a while and don't know or don't remember what we're all about, we talk about all things wrestling. And this week we're going to cover some of the stuff from Raw and SmackDown. But the big thing for the week is we're going to be presenting our Fantasy Evolution pay-per-view bookings. Given the fact that we're starting to see some of the matchups for the Evolution pay-per-view next month, we thought we would take it upon ourselves, and Russ even submitted his own lineup of what we would like the matchups to be, what we would like to see, other than some of the matchups that we've already heard about. But before we get to that, in our usual normal segments. Kent, what's your moment of bliss?
I was torn between two things, and I feel towards the end I'm just going to get to my other thing when you ask me if other things are happening. So, I had a bunch of good stuff like last week, and then, you know, things fell apart. So, this week, Sunday was Nine Deuce. So, I went over to my buddy Tom and Kaylee's. I actually hadn't drank for the whole month of August. I went the whole month without drinking. It was like first time in years that I've gone a month without drinking. It wasn't bad or anything. I just kind of didn't have any rhyme or reason to, so I didn't. So I had some... Sam Adams has some delicious Oktoberfest beer. It's an orange... Oh, so good. So I got that. Got like a six-pack of these alcoholic Arnold Palmers. Those were fucking tasty. They're kind of like Twisted Tea, only I liked them a little bit more. And we played three-man. For anybody who's never played three-man, if you roll a two and a one, you become the three-man, and then every time the number three comes up on dice, you drink until somebody else becomes three-man. Very first roll of the game was mine, and I rolled a three, which is incredibly unlucky, so that was great. We had a good time. Went out swimming in the lake. I hadn't been swimming in like 20 years, and I didn't want to go. And then Tom said, hey, if you go, I'll give you this bottle of wine. So I went into the lake holding an open bottle of wine and enjoyed my bottle of wine while swimming at night. Good stuff. So it was a really fun Nine Deuce. I enjoyed it. That was really my moment of bliss.
Sounds like a fun night all around. But Oktoberfest is like, it's the only Sam Adams I'll drink.
I feel like they have like I don't know, a yellow summer type ale that I don't mind. But really, out of all the Sam Adams, by far, it's the Oktoberfest beer that if I could have it all year, I would still get it all year because it's like a nice, perfect mix for me. So, yeah.
It is tasty, and I probably won't get any until next month when I go to the Maryland Renaissance Festival, because they always serve it there.
Oh. Do you dress up or anything for that?
Oh, God, no.
Do you make Eric dress up?
No.
Fair enough.
But now I think I should.
I think you should strongly encourage it in any womanly way that you possibly can.
And send and basically send photos of it.
Well, I mean, it would make for a great Christmas card photo.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost entertaining as something else that happened this past weekend at a certain pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to just get to that? Now, I know, like, this has been something you've been waiting for a long time. Do you want to hit that before we hit the Evolution?
Yeah, let's talk all in.
All right, let's take a trip to Carrie's Corner.
All right, listeners, here you go. So, unfortunately, I was unable last week due to my pup deciding to get into things she's not supposed to. I didn't get to give you guys my preview for All In. Well, here are the results for All In. All right, so we had All In 0 Hour, which was broadcasted on WGN America. We had the first matchup was SoCal Uncensored, defeated the Briscoe Brothers. And the next matchup, we had the Over Budget Battle Royal, where Flip Gordon won and earned a title shot against Jay Lethal later in the evening. And that was for the Ring of Honor World Championship.
Yeah. I have a quick question. Who's the SoCal whatever team?
Scorpio Sky and...
Is it Daniels?
No, Kazarian. Well, actually, it's Scorpio Sky, right? Frankie Kazarian, and Christopher Daniels.
I was just looking up Kazarian's woman, unless they're not together anymore, for our segment later. Tracy Brooks. I don't know if they're still together or not, but...
I believe they are, but I'm not 100% sure.
Was it a good match? Because, I like the Briscoe brothers, and I like Kaz and Daniels, so... was it good, or was it underwhelming?
Unfortunately, I was unable to watch 0 Hour because I do not have WGN America because have cable.
I mean, even when I had cable, I don't think I had that particular channel. So,
I'm surprised. Some
like, shouldn't they have done that just like on YouTube or something? Wouldn't that have made more sense rather than doing the TV deal? Or was it important financially?
I have no idea. I thought it was. I mean, WGN is a Chicago-based station, which makes sense since the pay-per-view is in Chicago, but as far as I knew, most major cable companies carry it.
Okay.
So, and they had, I think, the final tally was 196,000 viewers.
Yeah, I mean, they drew good. I did love the wrestling, the article I read online today, where it was like, it was less than Impact, but I mean, you have to consider this, it's like, stop making excuses, they got a good number, that's all you need to say, the article, seemed to make excuses, I don't know, I think that was as good, or if not better than the one I expected them to pull for that particular rating-wise.
Honestly, it's probably more viewers than people are watching Impact or Ring of Honor right now, just based on when things air.
Yeah, I mean, they did fine. I don't know if they would do it consistently. They might actually be able to if they could get a deal, but I don't see that happening, obviously.
Yeah, but they would have to have this type of card consistently every single time, and given the talent and how many cross promotions were...
impossible.
it would be next to impossible. A yearly thing, maybe, but... a weekly thing, or even, monthly, it would be next to impossible.
I agree.
With that said, let's move on to the main show. We had M-Dog Matt Cross defeating MJF. I have no idea who are these two guys were, but the match was decent. I had a little bit of issues with getting Fight TV to work, so I only saw, the last maybe 2 minutes of this match. Which... got me ready just in time for the Christopher Daniels versus Stephen Amell match, where Christopher Daniels picked up the win, and Jerry Lynn was special guest referee.
How is Jeremy Lynn looking? Or Jerry Lynn, how is he looking nowadays?
He's looking pretty good.
Yeah. Does he still have the short hair? I think last I saw him, he had the short hair. Okay, cool.
Next matchup, we had the women's... match with Tessa Blanchard, Chelsea Green, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and Madison Rain. Tessa Blanchard picked up the win. This was a really good women's match. I love Chelsea Green. Love her character.
I don't know anything about her. Where does she wrestle normally?
Impact. She's a hot Chelsea? Mess.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. I know who you're talking about now.
She impressed me, but there was somebody else later on in the show that impressed me even more.
Was this the only women's match on the card?
Yes.
I'm really surprised they didn't get Emma for that.
She was on commentary for this match, which made things even more awkward because Emma Tennille Dashwood, for those who, you know, go by, you know her indie
Smarkingtons.
Name. Exactly. used to date Zack Ryder. And Chelsea Green is his current girlfriend, and Chelsea Green did the broski boot during the match, and Emma just went silent.
She couldn't do any worse than Renee Young during a Dean Ambrose match.
This is true. I have to applaud Renee's professionalism anytime that, especially in that on Raw.
I applaud it. I don't want to get sidetracked, but now that I've seen Renee, I'd like to just see her on SmackDown, where she doesn't have to wouldn't have to worry about that particular dynamic. That's my only critique, is they should put her in a better position to succeed, because that it's just awkward every time. But whatever. Continue on with All In.
All right. Next up, we had the NWA World Championship match. Cody defeated Nick Aldis. Cody was accompanied to the ring by Brandi Rose, Diamond Dallas Page, Glacier, Tommy Dreamer, and their dog Pharaoh. And Aldis was accompanied by Jeff Jarrett, Sean Daivari, Sam Shaw, and Tim Storm.
So, I mean, Eric messaged me, told me that this was the match for me to see. How big of a clusterfuck was the end?
It wasn't... I don't think it was that bad. I wouldn't necessarily call it a clusterfuck. Brandi took a bump, though.
Did she?
Yeah. Nick basically jumped off the top rope and hit her with the elbow instead of Cody.
I applaud that decision wholeheartedly, because I can't stand her. I wanted to like her, I just can't stand her.
It's the second time this year that poor girl has taken a really bad bump.
Well, they'll help her earn respect in the locker room. I think that's probably important for her, so good for her. So Magnus is no longer, or Nick, what? Whatever, I know him as Magnus, I'm calling him Magnus. He's no longer the champ?
No, he's not.
Okay. I mean, I would have been kind of surprised if on a show that Cody basically promoted and put together, it kind of seemed like, you know, there should be some reward. And yeah, it made sense.
You could just kind of tell that's where the direction they were headed. Just if you watch like 10 Pounds of Gold, that was the NWA show leading up to All In. And just a lot of the shows leading up to this match, you could just kind of tell that's the direction the booking was going. And it seems like Billy Corgan's pretty much was really on board with Cody taking the title. I mean, it'll get more eyeballs on it because he does Ring of Honor, he does New Japan. There's going to be more eyes on that title now than there was before. Not to take anything away from Nick, but...
I think Corgan's actually... he takes a lot of shit online from fans, but I think he's actually pretty smart for the business. I actually like a lot of his thought process, so kudos for everything there.
But speaking of things that were kind of crazy and just completely out there, let's talk about the next match, which was the Chicago street fight between Adam Page and Joey Janela. And Joey Janela was joined by Penelope Ford, who I now adore. I think she's amazingly good. I mean, she hit Adam Page with a stunner that I've never seen somebody do. It was pretty well done. But in the end, Adam Page picked up the win, and we got Penis Druids. And the return of Joey Ryan. Yep, match ended. Lights went out. Instead of an Undertaker Druid entrance, we got Penis Druids. And Joey Ryan. And then Paige getting dick flipped by Joey Ryan. And Paige getting carried out by said inflatable penises.
I gotta say, I don't know if you watched the video that I sent you with Joey Ryan. One of the more disturbing things I've ever seen in wrestling. It was funny, though, that it came up because it didn't come up from the video that you sent me. It came up completely unexpectedly when I was looking at some other video that wasn't even wrestling-related. I'm seeing this thing with Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, and I don't even remember. Dude's name was like Strong Cock or something. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And that whole thing was between what I saw it all in. I mean, mind you, that's the only thing I saw in All In was that video you sent me, so that's my impression of All In so far, but Joey Ryan's like one of those guys, and he can't work in the PG era in WWE, but my god, had he been around the Attitude Era, that guy would have been so money. I've liked watching him for, I don't even know how long I've been watching him, feels like almost a decade now. Really am a fan of his work. He's very very smart in putting things together. Creative. I like it.
And then you have the lollipop.
And then there's the lollipop.
So the crazy did not end there. The next matchup, we had the Ring of Honor World Championship match. Jay Lethal retained his title against Flip Gordon. Gordon was accompanied to the ring by Brandi Rhodes. If you've watched Being the Elite, they're supposedly best friends. And then Lethal came out as Black Machismo and entered the ring in Macho Man Randy Savage's WCW gear alongside Lanny Poffo.
Oh, the genius made a return, huh?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Nobody did Macho Man impersonations better than Jay Lethal. Like that, that guy's really fucking good at what he does.
I think the best part for me was where he thought that Brandy was Elizabeth, and he picked Brandy up on his shoulder and carried her around. She's like, "I'm not Liz."
That's fantastic.
It was really good. Really good match. Because basically, on Being the Elite, it was like anytime you hit Jay Lethal on his shoulder, he would turn into Black Machismo. Oh. And then if you hit his shoulder again, he turned back into Jay Lethal.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that was a thing, but okay, now
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that was the storyline on Being the Elite. okay, let's move on to the next matchup we had. Kenny Omega against Pentagon Jr. Pentagon Zero. He has a lot of names, by the way.
He's a hell of a talent.
Yeah, he is. He is really, really good. He really took it to Kenny. I mean, Kenny picked up the win, but dang.
There's a shock.
Yeah. But even Don Callis is usually he's very vocal about Kenny, but he was really putting Pentagon over.
I've seen Pentagon probably in about 10 matches now, almost entirely on TNA, but God, what's nice is that he's actually got some muscle to him, so like he can do more powerful moves than most guys that do the flippy shit. So like he has a more diverse arsenal and moveset. I really like everything that he does. Very, very good stuff. I liked him versus Sami Callihan. That was good stuff.
I'll have to check that out. I've heard about it. I've just never seen it. I know him from Lucha Underground.
Yeah. Him and Phoenix both came from there,
yep.
Right? Okay. Something happened after the match, right?
Yes. Chris Jericho showed up and there was a surprise beatdown of Kenny.
Now, has Jericho recovered from his pregnancy? Or is he still sporting the... the extra weight?
It was hard to tell because he was wearing a t-shirt, but I think he's going for the Rey Mysterio fat kid at the pool look.
Wait, that was me Sunday night. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. good for him, because sometimes, yeah, you just want to cover that shit up. I was actually reading this thing about Jericho refusing to, he doesn't want to have the light-up jacket when he was in Japan. Somebody was like, yeah, because he couldn't fit into it. And I'm like, you know, there might be some validity to that. Just a little bit, unfortunately. I'll love to Jericho, but there might be some.
I think in Jericho's defense, he is on tour right now and probably drinking more than he usually does and not working out as much. I mean, the guy did beat down Kenny Omega, then immediately get on a jet and go to Kansas City, Missouri and do a Fozzy show.
Yeah, I mean, he, whatever, he's put in however 2+ decades of work at this point, so whatever, I don't care what he looks like. It's one of those things. I'm fine with it. You know, if you get out of shape, you get out of shape. I mean, Connor, he has no excuse. Bray, he has no excuse. Jericho, he's put in his work. He can do whatever the fuck he wants. Kind of like Lawler. Like, if Lawler ever just ballooned up even more, who cares at this point?
This is true. And with Jericho, he's pretty much doing whatever he wants now anyways.
Jericho's Teflon at this point.
So. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'll probably, you know, go to Impact next.
Yeah. I think that would... I'd like to... There's a lot of matches I'd love to see him in. I'll say that much.
All right, let's move on to the next match. We had Kazuchika Okada defeating Marty Scurll. This match was really good. This was, I would say, was match of the night for me.
I don't know shit about Marty Scurll. I just know him by name. I know Okada, but I just don't know shit about Scurll.
He's a junior heavyweight, up and coming, really, really good junior heavyweight. And I think the whole build for this story was the fact that Okada's a heavyweight, Marty's a junior heavyweight, and basically on being the elite, the whole thing was that Marty kept hearing that he was fucked because he was going up against Okada.
And in the end, he was.
Pretty much, but he
put on a good match.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He put on a good match, though. Speaking of good matches that, well, were a little short, apparently. I didn't notice. Was the Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi versus Rey Mysterio, Bandido, and Rey Fénix. Of course, Golden Elite picked up the win. Another really just good match.
What? The Young Bucks picked up a win? And this is why they did not get my money. Because I seriously thought about it. I'm like, no, I'm not paying for the Young Bucks. I refuse. That was my whole point of contention. I was like, I can't give them my money. Just to watch them win, especially. I was like, no, I can't. So, Young Bucks, you're the reason you don't have, what was it, $40, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why. Just blame my side of things.
Definitely well worth the money, though. That was a really good wrestling show. It pretty much ruined me for Raw and SmackDown this week.
I think that Raw SmackDown kind of ruined itself. Like, it kind of came in spoiled a little bit. In all fairness, it...
Yeah, yeah, and I don't think I'm ready to talk Raw and SmackDown yet. I don't know about you, but I think our listeners rather hear about fantasy pay-per-view booking. What do you think?
It'll be more fun.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Realistically, our rules were simple for this. It was anybody that was alive that could still wrestle. Because, hell, I can't think of many females that have died. I mean, Miss Elizabeth was never a wrestler.
China.
Sherry, China. Yeah. So, Sapphire. She wasn't even really a wrestler. So, I mean, you get rid of those, and women have done pretty well because they didn't get too hooked on drugs. Although, Sunny, the Grim Reaper is probably at your motherfucking door. That was it, though. Like, as long as they were living, we could put them in a match. I don't care. Like, In my mind, at least, I imagine Trish as prime Trish. I didn't picture as 40-year-old Trish. So, Russ ain't here, but Russ, you alluded that Russ did make his own, so I'm going to read that out loud for everybody. Carrie and I can kind of make fun of Russ. Oddly enough, I do not see the name Seth Rollins anywhere.
How about Sethina?
I'm looking for, like, possibly in the Battle Royale. All right. Let's see here. I don't know if he has this in any particular order. I'm going to start from 7 and work my way up. He had an NXT exhibition match of Nikki Cross versus Candice LeRae. Whatever, it'd be a fine match, given time.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. Number 6. Battle Royale of the past, featuring Brie, Nikki, Beth Phoenix. Shit, I forgot all about Beth Phoenix. Jazz, Molly Holly, Victoria, Sable, Michelle McTaker, Jackie, Tori Wilson, Gail Kim. He could have added about 30 more names to make this far more interesting, because that just sounds like a botch fest waiting to happen. That's my thoughts on that.
I wouldn't even put Gail Kim in with those women.
No, she's... I wouldn't put Victoria, necessarily.
Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, number 5. Ladder match for number 1 contender contract. Charlotte, Carmella, Naomi, Natalya, Ruby Riott, and Kairi Sane. No thanks. Really, that doesn't sound like a good match to me. Who am I left to cheer on? I'm going to cheer on Carmella, possibly Naomi, and possibly Ruby Riott. But half of those names, I wouldn't want Natty to win. No. For a ladder match, I'm unimpressed, Russ. I hope you're listening to this. I hope shame comes down. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, we know who should win that, but we know who will win that.
Yeah, exactly.
I just know that I didn't book her for my pay-per-view.
Right. Number 4, Russ redeems himself with a match that I had actually considered, but I didn't go with it. He went with Lita and Trish versus Bliss and Mickey James. I mean, it's good to have Mickey and Trish in the same ring, if at any point. My concern is Bliss doesn't do well with new people, and Lita is a walking suicide, trying to do any moves. I feel somebody would be crippled by the end of this match, but I'd still watch it. I just wouldn't keep Lita in the ring for more than 30 seconds at a time.
Sounds fair enough, but, I mean, when Lita and Trish get together, it's usually pretty magical. It's usually a good match.
Absolutely. Alright, this next match. Ember Moon versus Ronda Rousey. I'm fine with it, but right now, I'm not ready for that match, because they haven't built Ember up enough to... And Ronda's still sloppy, like... Even though Ember's not built up enough, where she's way better than Ronda, who's been built up. So it'd be a weird mixture of feelings for me. You?
It just seems random, but it could be enjoyable.
Like, doesn't it feel like a random Raw match more than a...
Yeah.
Match?
Yeah.
Okay. Alright, Sasha versus Bayley is his number 2 match, which I think everybody... is fine with it. The fact they didn't say Iron Man makes me slightly disappointed, but whatever. Since they already did the Iron Man, I would almost consider it like a 2 out of 3 falls match, as long as they didn't rush through the first 2 falls like they've been doing the past few years.
Oh, I think they should Okada Omega that shit and have 2 out of 3 falls, no time limit. Just let him fight forever.
Yeah, I'd be fine with it, because they haven't had a chance to showcase their talents in way too long. Number 1, he has Asuka versus Becky for the belts. I'm fine with that match.
I like it. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I mean, he ended strong. I'll say that for it. He had the announced team as Corey, Ronaldo, and Renee. Renee would get lost in that shuffle with Ronaldo, I feel. You know what I mean? Mauro gets very excited.
Oh, wow. I don't even have an announcing team for mine. I'm going to have to put that... I'm going
to
do that.
Time to half-ass that shit, right? I didn't come with one either. But I have one now. Let's face it, is Renee Young going to be in everybody's announced team?
All right. Nope.
Well, that was Russell's card, and as Carrie frantically figures out her announced team, I don't know. It was a good effort by Russ. I'll say that. It's something I wouldn't want to pay money for, but if I already had it part of the subscription, I would watch it. So, all right, Carrie, you want to regale us with what you got?
Sure. Give me one second to type one name down. Okay. So I'll start with my announced team just because I just typed it out and I'm really proud of it. So I have Ilya Riccoboni. He's the announcer for Ring of Honor. Kevin Kelly and Don Callis. Kevin Kelly, Roga play-by-play guy for New Japan. Don Callis, we all know who Don Callis is. I don't need to introduce who that is.
Don Callis is a great pick. I still don't like Kevin Kelly, but I don't know. I just can't. He's an acquired taste. That's the best thing I can say about him.
I would say watch some of the matches from this year's G1 where he's doing commentary with Rocky Romero. He and Rocky Romero are really good together. His play-by-play was really good. It was really good commentary for this year's G1.
All right, I'd give it a shot. All right.
All right, my first matchup is I have Penelope Ford. I am completely on board with this girl after I saw her basically do a handspring into a backbend into a stunner on Adam Page at All In. She's phenomenal. Just look up the highlights from Joey Janela and Adam Page. It's in there. She's phenomenal, and I'd like to see her go against Allie.
Oh, I love Allie.
Haven't seen her yet, but I was looking for somebody whose name I didn't recognize who would probably be a really good matchup for her.
Allie's really... I mean, she's updated her, the way that she kind of does things, but she had that, like, adorable, confused, still-learning thing, and then she progressively got better and more aggressive, and she really evolved her character really nicely for somebody that I don't think had a ton of experience. So, yeah, I'd watch that match.
Okay, next matchup we have Alicia Fox versus Nikki Cross.
And why is that?
Because that's way too much crazy for one match.
Yeah, I agree. I might have a little ounce of more craziness in mind, but yeah. Good to see Nikki's getting loved by it for the craziness.
Oh, she's a special kind of crazy, and I adore her for it.
Okay, she does it well.
Yes. Okay, the next matchup I have the Iconics versus Lake Cool versus the Beautiful People. There's no theme
is
there.
Is it Velvet and Angelina, or is Madison involved?
Velvet and Angelina.
Okay.
Because pretty much it's the same gimmick.
It really... Yeah. Beautiful People did it, and then WWE stole it, and then WWE recycled it like a shark cage. Like a shark cage.
And we'll probably see that shark cage one more time before the end of the year, because I think they bought them in bulk.
Oh, absolutely. They had a deal at fucking Costco or some shit. I don't know.
They sell shark cages at Costco? That's so cool.
Well, the ones in upstate New York, they do, because we're known for all of our sharks around here. Duh. I'm just going to say, I already had this exact match, so when you told me that, it bummed me out. But I did have a unique twist to it, so when we get to mine, I'll explain my twist. But so, me and Kerry were right on the same Diamond Dallas.
Page.
There you go.
So this next matchup was something that Eric suggested. Trish Stratus versus Asuka.
Why?
I don't know, but I like it. I think it would be good to watch.
See, I don't know. I think back to Trish. It'd be an interesting dichotomy because of her style. Like, because Asuka has such a harder-hitting style that's more, you know, back in the day, like Jackie and Medusa, Victoria, some hard-hitting people. It'd be an interesting matchup. It'd be kind of, I don't want to say speed because they're both fast, but maybe technique versus aggression? I don't know, I'd watch it.
Cool. Which would put you in a good mood because the next one you probably won't want to watch. I have the Bullet Club WAG match. Deonna Purrazzo versus Britt Baker versus Brandi Rhodes.
Well, that's a bathroom break.
Yep, each one of those women are dating or married to men who are or at one point in time were affiliated with the Bullet Club. My next matchup, this will get you back from said bathroom. Madison Rayne versus Mickie James.
Yeah, I like that. I can't recall if they've actually had that match. I don't think they did. I think their times did not overlap in TNA. I would watch that. Madison's really, really good. Very good.
She impressed me at All In. She was part of that four-way match, and she's good. She's really good.
TNA tried using her right a few times, and they had one good gimmick where she played like, I don't know, the pretentious, I think like a prom queen type character. And she did that really, really well. Definitely better as a heel than face. Really good in ring. Very impressive. And, of course, Mickey's top five for me all time. I have no problem saying that.
Next matchup, we have Lita versus AJ Lee.
Are you trying to hurt AJ Lee?
No.
Okay. I mean, I'm fine with that. As long as Lita doesn't win, I'm fine.
All right. Next matchup, I have Santana Garrett versus Toni Storm.
Santana Garrett. Did she wrestle under a different name at some point?
Yes, and that name is escaping me right now. Give me once.
Has she wrestled in TNA, I guess, is more my question.
I want to say yes.
Okay, I think that I'm thinking of the same girl then. And who was the other one?
She wrestled under the name Brittany in Impact.
Okay.
And the other one's Toni Storm.
I've heard her name quite a few times. Is she the one that got hurt?
No, she isn't. Although I think she is injured. She's part of the NXT UK. She got signed for that.
Okay, yeah. Now I know where I recognize them. Okay.
Blonde hair, wears the stuff under her eyes, tiny hats. Kind of a rock and roll gimmick.
Yeah, I'd watch that match.
My next matchup, I have Tennille Dashwood or Emma versus Chelsea Green.
Sold.
And for my main event, I have Becky Lynch versus Tessa Blanchard.
I don't like Tessa still. Maybe someday I will. I'm great with Becky, though. So great with Becky. She's a hero.
And that is my show.
All right. So I broke my own rule. I went over by two matches. My announced team is Renee as the lead, along with CM Punk and Wade Barrett. By the way, on Netflix, Ultimate Beastmaster Season 3 is out, and it is a true delight, especially the South Korean announced team. Oh my god. And there's a dude from Italy that's really hilarious. The announcers are what makes that show. So, and Punk was really great on commentary back in his WWE days. I always thought that that's exactly what he would transition into as he got older, but things didn't work out that way. Okay, first match. Oh, and this is just like my fantasy card from months ago. Lots of three ways so I could get lots of people involved. Because threesomes with women are great. So, I have Nikki Cross versus Daphne of WCW fame versus Luna Vachon. I went full out on my crazy way, and I don't even know who I'd have win that. In my mind, I always liked Daphne a lot. I thought she should have been in WWE. I don't know what happened, but she should have been. Should have been a hit, I think. What do you think?
I like all of that. I'm not really familiar with Daphne. I think I've seen pictures of her, but I'm not 100% sure. But that just sounds
good. She used to hang out with David Flair, Rick's son.
Okay.
That may not help at all.
Nah, didn't help at all.
Fair enough. You know who Luna is, at least.
Yes.
Okay. All right. My second match is the repeat of what Perry had as far as the iconic duo, Beautiful People, and Lake Cool. But, in a weird twist of fate, we're having some men down as their valets. So, the iconic duo is out with Peyton's real-life boyfriend, the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger. Beautiful People are out with Velvet Sky's boyfriend, I think, or husband? I don't know, Bully Ray?
I think they're just dating.
Dating. And, of course, Lay Cool is out with Lay Taker. I'm super excited for not only the match, but just to see Ty Dillinger staring across the ring from Undertaker and or Bully Ray. I don't know. That whole thing excites me. I don't know who I'd want to give the win to. Either Beautiful People or Iconic. I think Iconic. I really like them. I really like the Beautiful People, but I think the Iconic Duo is probably the best out of the three teams.
I like
who it. Did you pick in your... Who did you book to win?
Ooh. I think the Iconic Duo.
Alright. Okay. My third match. Adding a little diversity to this. Another match with male valets. Ember Moon with her trainer Booker T versus Naomi with her husband Uso, Jimmy, I think, and versus Jazz with Rodney Mack, and the referee is Teddy Long. I'm going to give the win to Jazz because she just did not get enough wins during her run, and she was so damn talented.
You sure that's not going to turn into a mixed tag match? I mean, Teddy Long is involved.
Yeah, probably after the fact it would and become the tag team main event for SmackDown and holla, holla, holla. It'd be great. I'd have a lot of fun, I think. I mean, really, I want to see Ember versus Naomi in the worst way. I hope they do that this year at Evolution. The two most athletic women.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to say that. Yeah, that would... Wow, that would be an athletic match.
I mean, because Charlotte gets all the credit for athleticism. I think both girls are more athletic than her. It's a different type of athleticism.
But yeah.
It's just different. But yeah, I think those two would put on a... If they get a match, I think they steal the show at Evolution with at least a 10-minute match. I really think so. Fourth match. Asuka versus Soo Young from Impact versus Gail Kim.
Wow. That's a lot of talent in one ring.
Once again, I don't know who to even begin to pick. Soo Young has one of the greatest female gimmicks of all time. Gail Kim is one of the greatest female talents of all time. And Asuka's just fucking amazing. Oh, no. If we're booking this under WWE rules, Gail Kim wouldn't win, so I'd book her to win. Because she always got screwed. Always.
But, yep.
That'd be such a fun match. All right. In my fifth match, Battle of the Hosses. Nia Jax versus Bull Nakano versus Awesome Kong. Awesome Kong slash Karma with the win. Everybody destroying Nia Jax for being awful and making her rethink her career.
Speaking of her, where is she?
I was wondering if she was hurt or something possibly, but maybe Dana Brooke got her place?
It's possible.
I don't know. Maybe she needs a rest. Maybe she's learning some moves. I don't know.
Maybe she's going to join Titus Worldwide now.
Oh. Wouldn't that just be a little too racist at this point? Like, I thought having Dana was the thing that made it for not the Nation of Domination.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
All right. Sixth match. Ronda Rousey versus Jacqueline versus Medusa. I wanted Ronda to realize that she tried to recklessly do her arm dragon screw whip armbar bullshit that she's been doing to Foxy. If she tried that shit with Jackie or Medusa, she would learn the roughest of, like, there'd be lessons learned that day, right?
Oh, for Medusa alone.
Jackie never took shit. Like, Medusa and Jackie didn't take shit. I don't know. I think that'd be such a fun matchup. I wouldn't have Ronda win at all, of course. I don't know who I'd give the win to. Maybe Medusa.
That would be my pick. That would be my pick.
Next up, and this is the one of only two matches that wasn't a three-way. Bayley versus Sasha versus Trish versus Mickey. We have two known rivalries that are good quantities, and now we're combining them into one explosive match. And we'll make this an elimination match.
I'd watch it.
I'd give the win to Sasha. I think Sasha's criminally underrated right now. Like, she's not getting enough time to shine. I'd like to actually see more her versus Ruby more. Like, give them a 20-minute match. I'd watch it. Because Ruby's really improved a lot on the main roster. I don't know. I think it'd be a fun match. I don't know. Anything with Trish and Mickey, as we said, is fun. So, number 8, Becky versus Lita versus Victoria. I felt like Lita may have inspired Becky perhaps a little bit. And Victoria's always just been consistently great. I mean, Widow's Peak is one of the coolest finishers. She had great music. She had a great look. She could play face or heel very well. Really entertaining, like, outside the ring, like in interviews and stuff. She's actually, like, one of the best interviews out there, in my opinion. I don't know. I've always liked her. Lita, I'm not a huge fan of. I think she's horribly unsafe. I think she's always been unsafe. So I'd be okay with this match. I'd like to see Becky and Victoria kill her. I'd have Becky pick up the win.
I like everything. Becky's a hero. I like everything you just said.
There we go. Probably my second or third favorite match on the card. Miss Bliss versus Molly Holly versus AJ Lee in the Battle of the Shorties.
Aww.
Yeah. Tell me that match wouldn't be... Molly was always amazing. AJ was amazing. Bliss is amazing. I don't even know who to pick. I think I'd give it to Molly. She should be in the Hall of Fame right now. She needs to go in the Hall of Fame this coming year.
Yeah. I think she should be over... Trying to think. Who's gone in and really doesn't need to be in there yet?
Beth could have waited another 5 years easily.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, I like Beth, but...
Right, like, Beth could have waited a couple more years while they got more of the ladies from that... the previous generation in, like, Victoria, Jazz, and Molly. I mean, I'm glad that Ivory got in. I actually would have put Molly in over Ivory, but Ivory really did do a lot of other unique things that helped. So both are deserving. All of them are deserving. I just always had a soft spot for Molly, and of course Bliss and AJ, so that would be one of my favorite matches. A match that I really didn't know what to do with any of these women, but I thought if you threw them all together, it could be fun, or it could be a bathroom break. Carmella versus Sienna versus Sable. I don't know. Like, Sable could be entertaining when she was a bitchy heel. Sienna's probably the best of the three, and Carmella's very entertaining when she's allowed to be.
See, I'm not that familiar with Sienna, so...
She is in the Mae Young Classic this year, right?
If she is, she's not going by that name.
I don't think she is going by that name. I'm pretty sure her and Madison both came from TNA to do the thing, and then they brought Caitlyn back. So I knew at least three. Either way, I'd give the win to Sienna, really nice girl. She does, like, a lot of charity work, too. I don't know. Really like her. I mean, as much as I like Mella, but... Not the last match, but number 11. Paige versus Emma versus Rosemary from Impact. Why I chose Rosemary to go with them... I feel that she would just add a different dynamic that's wholly unique from the other two, while also being able to go in the ring, like, and keep pace with how great Paige and Emma, like, their NXT matches used to be. I don't know, I thought Rosemary'd be a good third element.
Not that familiar with her as well. See, I really need to watch some Impact. But yeah, I could watch Paige versus Emma all day. That's another one where it's Licious Omega Okada that shit and just have, you know, no time limit, 2 out of 3 falls, let them fight forever.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. All right, my main event. In a best of 92 falls, everybody's allowed in the ring at once. Charlotte, Nikki Bella, Brie Bella, and Kairi Sane versus Alicia Fox, Roxy Laveau, all of the Riot Squad, Mandy Rose, Sonya Deville, Madison Rayne, Eva Marie, ODB, Cheerleader Melissa, Caitlin, Lacey Evans, and Bianca Belair. This would just be so much fun, because there wouldn't be any tags, and we'd get 92 falls, and Charlotte wouldn't get a chance to, Botch a moonsault, and Brie wouldn't get a chance to make Daniel a widow. What is it?
Widower, I think.
Widower. Yeah, okay. I mean...
Not once, but twice. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I don't know. This would just be my pure joy match. I mean, it probably wouldn't last too long, considering it would be like a basically 3-on-1 per person beatdown, but it'd bring me so much happiness. So that's how I ended my card.
Basically, it's everyone who has never been privileged versus the privileged ones who really don't deserve to be privileged.
Yeah, pretty much. Although I don't know if I feel like Kairi Sane belongs in the privileged group. She does and she doesn't. Like, it's too early to tell. I'm just still angry. So,
you just don't like the pirate gimmick.
I don't. I never will. Like, the interesting thing is, I think back to, like, Paul Burchill, and I was going to include his on-screen sister. I don't know. She went by the name of Winter in TNA. But then I was like, nobody knows who the fuck... It was Katie Lee Burchill.
Yeah.
She was a real... I liked her. She was really good as Winter in TNA. She didn't get a chance to really do much in WWE. Very talented, though. So, with that being said, that's how we would book Evolution and make it way better than the crock of shit that we're going to get.
Yeah. Yay, Nikki Bella versus Ronda Rousey. Oh, wait, that's not announced yet, but it's rumored to happen.
Because, you know, the Bellas definitely deserve to be the last two out of three people in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble. Yeah. Yep, and now she deserves... She's not even boning Cena anymore. So how does she have this much influence?
I don't know.
Like, what was Cena responsible all along? Or does she have, like, some horrible pictures of Vince that nobody knows about?
Well, I mean, their mom is married to John Laurinaitis.
Power to the people. People power.
People power!
I actually liked him.
I was indifferent.
He was that right kind of corny. Not as great corny as, like, the Iconics. I don't care. Every time they come out, they make me laugh, and I don't care how bad the jokes are. The way, especially Billy, I think Billy sells the shit out of, I don't care how bad it is, she sells the shit out of it to a point where it makes me laugh.
They're just, with those two, it's, the jokes are kind of just stupid, but it's the presentation and the fact that you know what they're trying to be and what they're trying to do, and it's just, it's so good.
Like, you know when they're pressing, like, it has to be hilarious for them. Like, there has to be, like, 20 different takes. I'd love to see that. They were actually good on Drive Along. I recently finally caught up on Drive Along.
Oh, that was funny.
Ride Along.
Ride Along. Yeah, that was funny. We watched that. That was really funny.
I also always love Storytime. I think it's the best thing on the network, by far.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch this most recent one?
I'm behind two episodes. I'm going to catch up tomorrow.
Okay. I won't see.
Is there a Jake Roberts one?
Not in this episode.
Jeez, they're breaking tradition.
He's got some really good stories, though, about him.
Jake the Snake could probably do a 12-hour interview, and at no point would it be boring. I think he has just so much stuff to tell. Oh, great storyteller. All right. Let's get off our high horse and get back down to shitty reality.
Speaking of reality, let's talk about the return of the Bellas. And we'll do that in our segment, Were You Not Entertained? Listeners, each week we pick one segment from either Raw or SmackDown. We discuss whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, as I said, we picked the return of the Bellas. Wow, I think Brie should change her name to Botch Bella. Dear God, that was embarrassing. For someone who's...
Not once, but twice.
Yes.
Like, I sent you guys the message, and I'd only seen the first botch, and by the time I saw the second botch, I was like, oh man, I kind of want to message you guys again.
It was so bad. I don't even know what she was trying to do on the first one. She's like, I'm not going to jump through. I'm just going to flop.
She hesitated. She didn't go for it. And so the hesitation cost her the first time. The second time, I think it was just her feet caught on the rope. And she took the fucking dive.
Which is even more funny is, didn't Daniel do the same damn thing on SmackDown the next night?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I guess it's just something a married couple has to do. Botch a suicide dive.
It was cringeworthy. I mean, not as cringeworthy as Bree's song. I will admit, I officially mute my television when the first note that I hear, I grab it, I'm like,
I thought everybody liked Bree mode.
Oh, and when she screams, I'm like, Bree mode! And I'm like, oh my god, somebody's gonna die.
Did you see the knee that she gave Zelina Vega last night, though?
Yeah. She's... I'm calling bullshit that she's allowed to hit people and, like, nobody's able to get anything up on her. Like, people bitched about Stephanie. I'm going to say that about Brie. Because she was hitting way too hard, in my opinion.
I was like, I've seen knees that stiff. But it's by somebody who's far more talented than Brie Bella.
And experienced enough to do it.
Without taking somebody's head off? If I were Zelina Vega, I'd be pissed.
Oh, and she can't say nothing, though. That's a shitty thing. She can't say anything.
Because it's a Bella. Oh,
and what the fuck was up with Bree's pants in the back?
I could
see her ass crack half that match, because she had, like, this lace-up V thing where her ass crack was. I'm like, I thought this was PG-rated. But no, if you look, like, you can see some ass crack, like, a good chunk of it. I'm like, you're a mom at this point. Stop, like, this is the PG era. Have some social decorum. I don't know. And yet Nikki picks up the win with the awful rack attack, which
I thought she wasn't supposed to do anymore because of her bad neck. I mean, everybody in that family pretty much has a bad neck now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a thing.
But more importantly, I was not entertained by this match. I thought it was a train wreck that I had to look away from.
The fact that I don't normally message you and Russ at like 4 a.m. about what I'm seeing on my TV screen only to swear a ton. Cannot say I was entertained by this or anything of Brie the next night. I mean... I just want to say, everything with Brie, she is horrible on the mic. Like, she may be worse than Charlotte Flair. That is how bad I think Brie is. And I don't take that distinction very lightly, but she may be worse. She's worse on the mic, which is shocking.
I'm not going to dispute that with you at all. She's... Her... I mean... I hate to pick on Nikki, but I'm going to pick on Nikki. Nikki's about just as bad, though.
Well, which one is it? Is it Nikki that always talks like this, where at the end of every sentence she has to cock an upward inflection and talk like a valley girl?
Yes, that's her. I thought she was doing that so she would sound dumb for Cena, because she used to do that a lot in, like, Total Bellas and Total Divas, around John especially. It's like, I gotta make myself look stupid and bimbo-ish, even though I'm, you know, really, 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 really smart.
Yeah, I don't like either of the Bellas. I really don't want... Once Evolution's done, if they never show up in WWE again, I'm fine with it. And they're so gorgeous in real life. They're gorgeous girls, but I'm sure they're probably nice people. Maybe. But I just don't want them on my TV screen.
I mean, I gather just based on... I mean, reality TV is always... You can always take it with a grain of salt. But I think they're both very, very... I mean, sweet girls. The thing is that WWE is trying to sell themselves on a women's revolution. And the Bellas represent the old guard. They represent the butterfly belt, not the women's titles that are now around the waist of some very, well, sort of talented women. At least the NXT title is.
I was going to say, right now is the worst possible time to give that example, but who was it that recently took offense, though, to the comment about being a diva? One of the previous diva champions... Oh, it was Maria Kanellis.
Yeah, she said something like she wants to bring back the Divas belt.
I liked what she originally said, though, is that, I mean, yeah, they laid the groundwork for where the girls are today. Like, without that generation of having to put up with all the sexual stuff, they had to put up with the sexual stuff in order to get to actually have wrestling matches. So I definitely do admire them. But, yeah, it's also good, though, to be done with the Diva... It's good to be done with it. It really is. Most of those matches were terrible back in the day. Like, there was a time frame of, like, 3 to 5 years where most women's matches were absolutely cringeworthy.
Cringeworthy and usually about 2 minutes long.
That was the good thing, though. At least, unlike Raw, where we had sit through, I believe we even had a commercial break in that awful match.
Yes. I thought, wasn't there two?
There might have been. So, sometimes there is something good about cringeworthy 2 minute matches versus cringeworthy 17 minute matches.
It was just so awful to watch because you watch the match and you can tell, like, Ruby Riott's standing there looking from the sidelines. Sarah Logan's going, what do I do with this? I'm a trained professional wrestler. What do I do with this? These women have no idea what they're doing out here.
I saw a frustration on Sarah's face at one spot that I couldn't remember what spot it was, but she was so clearly like, I know I'm the rookie here, but Jesus.
See, the thing is with her, she's not.
She's a WWE quote unquote rookie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I still love Sarah Logan. I really do. I hope she becomes a champ down the road.
I just want them to decide what gimmick she's going to have. She's going to be the sweet, innocent country girl, or she's going to be the Viking.
I'm fine with either one, but yes, they really do need to determine which one and stick to it. And also, is Ruby back to being her, or is she just not in the match?
I think she was just not in the match.
Okay. I mean, honestly, Liv Morgan's really impressing me, too. All three of the Riott Squad have actually legitimately improved over the past 8-9 months since they've been up.
Agreed.
Like, they've really done a good job. I'm impressed by all of them. I wasn't so sure about them being called up, but they've proven me wrong.
Yeah, I felt bad for them because they had to deal with that.
Absolutely. So, I mean, this wasn't the only train wreck of Raw. Raw was wreckage.
Oh, there was so much going on Raw. Just so many confusing just twists and turns. And I think the biggest one of all you really want to talk about. So I'll let you introduce that to our listeners.
Obviously I want to talk about the whole Shield debacle. Wyatt requires the whole locker room to separate 6 individuals. Why? I have so many questions. Why it took the whole locker room? Why only the Shield got arrested? They did not really explain that at all during Raw. They didn't have a specific segment where, like, Corbin explained that or anything. They just got arrested. Like, they didn't say. There was no explanation. Like, why did they only get arrested for? They did the same thing that the Drew, Dolph, and Braun did. And why is Braun still a heel 3 weeks ago, whatever. Braun comes out, tells Roman to his face, I'm going to cash this in. And then he gets blindsided by these two schmucks. Gets triple powerbombed and everybody cheers. So the next week, Braun's like, okay, I'm going to even the odds and get myself 2 boys. And do the exact same thing to Roman and Dean and Seth, and he's the bad guy. I don't get that logic. It doesn't make any sense on any. It doesn't make any sense. And finally, not finally. As I said to you before, why is Lashley and Elias and AOP part of these breakups? If these guys are part of a breakup, they can eat. Lashley can hold back. Even if you put the strong guys, you put Lashley on, you know, Dean or Seth. You put Elias on Dean. You put Authors of Pain on Roman. Okay, those 4 guys aren't moving, and you still have a locker room full of like Titus and other hosses. Why is Lashley involved in this? Like, it's kind of like, what was it, a month ago when Asuka was part of the breakup between Becky and Charlotte. You don't put certain talent in these breakup angles for this locker room clearing bullshit. You just don't. You leave them out of that particular story.
Especially with Lashley. Lashley beat Roman. Wasn't it like two pay-per-views ago?
Oh, and then he was didn't even get a match on SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view prior, beats Roman, your biggest star. Next pay-per-view, nothing.
WWE logic.
And my last complaint is, what? How did the Shield, like, get the keys to this police van? And why is it okay that they stole this thing? Like, I'm sure they didn't just borrow it. Like, nothing... I know wrestling's an illogical thing. I get it. But there are leaps of faith and stuff, but sometimes it just doesn't make any sense. And this was a time... It didn't make any sense. I loved the beatdown at the end. I don't know where any of the good guys, quote-unquote good guys, were. Like, why did nobody come out to help the Shield? I think they should make the storyline that everybody thinks the Shield are dicks. That's the storyline they could really go with. And it would work in a lot of ways. That could keep them as tweeners. That would work way better than them just being these ultimate faces right now. I don't know. Dean can't turn fast enough.
I was disappointed they didn't turn him heel as soon as he came back. He has the look. He had the look. He's kind of lost it since then. Since returning.
I liked him without a shirt on. That sounded really, really Russ-like.
Yes, it did.
Because you don't see Dean, though, typically without a shirt on, though. He always has a shirt on.
No.
I since he come back with, you know, a little more bulked up, I thought it was actually a good look for him.
Yeah, I got nothing there. I mean, the whole thing just is confusing. I do hope that they kind of go with, which they won't because WWE booking just doesn't think this way. Yeah, I mean, it was like, it was basically at the end, it was everybody versus the Shield, and that's the way it should be. Like, nobody helped those guys. It was like, we are so sick of you three taking our spots. We're just going to let everybody beat the crap out of you. Because you deserve it.
Now, did Seth legitimately had to have gotten busted open by that glass, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, that did not look good.
That looked pretty painful. There was something really satisfying about Braun and AOP working together, to which I'm still going to say Braun should have teamed up with Bray and Luke. That much is a given. Dolph and Drew could have been off doing their own thing, helping reestablish other things, you know, especially now in the tag division, right? Instead, all of this is just a setup so we can have Seth and Dean versus those two. Which I don't understand. Just give us Hell in a Cell, six-man tag. Not even a six-man tag, but a six-man match, right?
I'd be fine with that.
Nobody wants Roman versus Braun one-on-one when we could have all six guys kicking each other's asses. That would be more satisfying.
But we're going to get Braun versus Roman, and we're going to like it.
And you know, the Revival had a chance at the championship and got fucked again.
Yeah, as I've said before, WWE booking has jumped on the fuck the Revival bandwagon about a year too late.
Yeah. You know what, though? I'll give Raw credit. This is the first time in I don't know how long that I've seen the Ascension on back-to-back episodes of Raw. So, good to see, you know... Could see him doing something at the very least.
And Chad Gable made TV this week.
Chad stole the show in that match, I thought. Like, Bobby Roode... I don't know, Bobby Roode actually played his character really well. It was very subtle, but he played it well. What do you think they're going to do with it? Do you think this is leading to... Jordan, I mean, is Jason Jordan ever coming back per the rumors? Like, it sounds weird.
It sounds like they're going to put him kind of next to Matt Hardy in production. Because apparently he's injured more than they originally let on.
Yeah, the dangerous neck injury that they're terrified of now. Which, so, do you think this is the substitution for their planned reviving the American Alpha? Do you think that this is like the backup plan since they were doing jack shit with Bobby Roode?
I wouldn't mind it. I mean, they got good chemistry together. I mean, really, that was the best part of Raw Monday night, was those two.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even going to disagree. That was probably about the time I was happiest. What do you think about Maverick Drake being, like, is he officially done being the commissioner or GM or whatever of 205?
I have no idea. Like, what the fuck happened? That just seemed really random. I think it should be those three versus the Shield. They all look the same.
I'd watch the shit out of that. Rockstar Spud is awesome. He is such a delight. That's the one thing I regretted about not watching 205s, because I love him on to hear him talk. He's really charismatic and fun. So they replaced Ellering with Rockstar Spud, and it might work because he's such an obnoxious twit. He's going to piss people off, and nobody's going to be able to get to him for a while. And it's going to be kind of like a Bobby Heenan type thing, and I think that would be really smart. I'm fine with that Bobby Heenan, Jimmy Hart type, you know,
yeah,
gimmick. I think it could potentially work. I don't know. AOP needs something. But right now, they have too many. If you look at Raw's tag team division, how many tag teams are not two guys put together randomly?
Let's see. You got the Ascension, the Revival.
AOP.
AOP. Everything else is two people randomly put together.
Yeah, that is an issue that they need to rectify. I mean, I guess, I don't know, the P team's kind of been together for enough years now where it almost feels like they're a team, but they're still, I don't know, they're still Bo and Curtis to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're on a fine line. Like, yeah. Even, like, Heath Slater and Rhino.
Sure.
They've been Ginger Rhino as long as we can remember, but still, it's that fine line where between tag team and single.
Right. And you know, before we forget, Kevin Owens quit and returns 7 days later. Is there a payoff here that you can see? Because I don't see any payoff right now.
Nope. I don't see a payoff, and I'm still trying to figure out what he has against Lashley.
Hopefully he just wants to have a good match. That's the only hope I have right now, because I'm fine with Kevin Owens versus Lashley for no good reason. I'm fine with that, I guess.
He needs a good match. He really does. He hasn't had a good match since Jericho.
His match with Seth the prior week was good. It just wasn't great. It could have been great, I feel. He feels like a holding pattern, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, going back to his match with Seth, I mean, it was a good match, just a bad ending. A match like that, KO should have gone over. The way that match was just laid out. But...
And the crowd would went apeshit for it, too.
Oh, absolutely. The crowd would have ate it up, but why do what the fans want?
I know... I firmly believe that you don't always have to give the fans what they want, but you should give them moments. And it shouldn't be only, you know, 5% of the time. Give them moments more, because you don't remember all the time. Well, sometimes really angry people like me and Steve remember all the times we got dicked over. But most fans only remember those really big positive moments. So give them to us more often. It's not like they're hard to create or anything. That was such an easy moment to do.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't the original plan, just, you know, call it audible and say, okay, let's do this because it looks like it's a good idea.
Right, what's Seth going to do with the Intercontinental Championship right now? Nothing, because he's in a feud over tag team titles.
Yep.
So...
Ah. Shield privilege. They want... the Shield to have all the gold.
Hopefully Dean loses some weight and gets that 205 belt. That's the hope.
I think Seth has a better chance of going to 205 than Dean.
Yeah. Well, Dean's shorter, though, right?
I think it's a toss-up. Both of them, I think, are right around 6. I want to say 6, 6'2".
That makes sense. What? I mean, we should probably talk a little bit about SmackDown, but aside from Andrade and Zelina Vega getting absolutely fucked over, I felt the whole Joe and AJ thing, like, I liked the story, but I didn't... I don't know, if AJ's going to come out, I want him to actually wreck Joe. Like, make it a massacre so it's another memorable moment. Instead, it just kind of felt underwhelming, right?
I think at this point we're just really fatigued with the whole storyline. Or maybe it's hardly, just me.
No, I'm already kind of like, eh. This could have been better. Joe's doing everything he can, but the pacing of the story, I think, is problematic. The fact that it's not getting Hell in a Cell treatment is problematic. Out of all matches, that's not the grudge match?
It definitely should be, given the backstory.
I mean, I'm fine with, contrary to a lot of internet fans, I am 100% in agreement that Hardy versus Orton should be, too, because that's one of the most personal feuds happening. Really, SmackDown has the three top most personal feuds happening right now, include those two and Becky. So all of them are really kind of deserving of Hell in a Cell treatment, if you think about it. It's just weird that out of the three, that Jeff and Randy's the one getting it.
I think they're doing that so they can contain Jeff as much as possible from doing something insanely stupid.
Jeff's going to be joining fucking Matt backstage sooner than later. How that man's not crippled is beyond me.
I think he comes from the same school as Kota Ibushi. His neck does not exist anymore.
I think they probably stayed hard at fucking Flair Academy, because Rick's body has gone through some incredible shit that the human body's not meant to. And he's still alive, surprisingly, to talk about it. He's almost pretty much the standard bearer of that shit.
Yeah. And in Flair's case, he got his colon removed like a year ago. Or like part of it.
He survived the plane crash and won how many fucking world championships? I mean, there's so many. All the drinking, like, so, nobody should drink that much.
So he's basically the Keith Richards of wrestling.
Yeah. God, that'd be cool to see those two. They've had to have met at some point, right?
You would think.
I mean, over the 70 plus years of being alive.
You would think.
Yeah. Huh. Oh, shit. You know what? We forgot a very important thing on Raw.
Taker.
Yeah. We were so mired in the negativity. Is this leading to a Shawn Michaels comeback?
Possibly.
It seems like that is the direction, and I don't know if I like it. I don't want another Shawn Michaels versus Taker match. I say that, but if they give it to me, I'm going to just drink it all in. Because both guys will give us everything they have. And I'd be fine if that was a retirement match for both guys. Although I'd rather Taker put over a young guy. If really that was both their last matches, I'd be fine with it. But it better be at WrestleMania, not in some... Anything else is unacceptable. But if you have Taker versus Shawn, like, say, in a retirement match for both guys, how does that not go on last?
It has to. But it won't, because what isn't the rumor for WrestleMania, Rock versus Roman?
Well, not only that, the rumor is Ronda versus Charlotte.
Yeah, I don't want to see that either.
Nobody does. I mean, that's... Me and Steve have gone on record. That's the reason why him and I are not looking to get tickets. We talked about it, then as soon as that became, like, starting to look more and more realistic, that may be the main event of WrestleMania, like, the last match, potentially, to be first time ever in historic. Nope. I don't want to see it. I'd love to see Rock versus Roman. I think that'd be a great match. Actually, I'd like to see Roman versus Batista in a good one-on-one match, but I'd like to see Batista get ring rust off first. I love Big Dave.
Yeah.
And he seems like he wants to come back. Like, every once in a while, it sounds like he wants to come back, then he doesn't, then he does.
It really, I think it's whenever he's not working on a movie, he's like, I need to do something. I want to wrestle. Because even at his Q&A at AwesomeCon this year, he was basically like, it's always on my mind.
I feel that's probably the way for a lot of longtime wrestlers. I mean, it didn't seem like he wrestled long, but he had like a good 10-year run or so. Very successful run. And he's still in great shape.
Yeah, he wants to come back. The only person that we would love to come back won't come back, and that's Punk.
Yeah. Yeah. And if Punk didn't come back to All In, Punk is not. I think that should cement everything. Like, I don't think people should hound him anymore. I also don't believe that Punk was sincere. I don't normally talk negative about Punk, but I don't think he was sincere when he said that nobody's made him a legitimate offer. I fully believe that Cody and the jerk faces offered him a good offer to make an appearance.
Cody said in an interview that they did, and yeah, he turned them down. But the thing is he should have, I mean, after this past weekend, should realize how much he still means to the fan base when there was a half a mile long line at Pro Wrestling Tees last Saturday to get his autograph.
Part of me says that he knows what he's doing. I think he knows that in a year or two, if he chooses, and he may never choose it, but he could choose whatever schedule WWE like would have to just take him up on, and he can make whatever price tag that he wants. I fully believe that he knows that, and he's just not ready to cash in yet, because he's not sure what he wants to do with MMA. Part of me says that part of him's probably done. But, I don't know. I think fans should just let it be, and if he ever comes back, great. If he doesn't, it's a shit ending, but let it end type thing.
Yeah, and stop with the dang CM Punk chants.
Right, like, where the hell is the Wade Barrett, Bad News Barrett chants? That, you know?
Replace him with Colt Cabana chants, dang it.
In regards to Taker, Shawn, Triple H, Taker was great on the mic. He's not known for his great mic work, but I thought that was really good stuff between the two of them.
It was. It was really good.
Do you think Triple H is winning? I think he is. Because they've only had two Hall of Famers say that he was winning. Austin and Christian, of all people, are about to pick and Taker. I think Triple H is winning that.
Yeah, that's probably where they're leaning.
Which is fine. I mean, Triple H has done the job for Taker at three WrestleManias. I don't think Taker doesn't mind doing the job. But that's one of those things that people get wrong. Taker jobbed to Great Khali, for fuck's sakes. I mean, he doesn't mind jobbing. It just has to make sense for him, I think. So, I don't know. Do you have anything else from... was you surprised at Rusev Day 1?
A lot. Very much so.
I thought either team would have won. I would have liked to have seen Sanity win, but they don't seem interested at all in that. So, it's weird. I was happy, though. I mean, I'm happy for Rusev Day. Is this what's going to lead to the breakup? Because... In the back, are they actually going to do a breakup, or are they going to go the Bayley and Sasha route and, like, just pretend like there was nothing?
By pairing them up and having them win this, I think that breakup storyline's dead. It's completely dead.
I think next week they're going to break up. I don't know. I'm just tossing that out there. That's my thought. If it doesn't happen next week, though, it's not going to happen.
Or they'll have a little bit of a tiff between the two of them, and they'll send him to Dr. Shelby because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Shelby.
Hey, he fixed Sasha and Bailey. He can fix Aiden and Rusev.
Yeah, I think out of any storyline this year that may have possibly broken me a little bit more than anything else, it is the Sasha and Bailey thing, because just when you thought it was finally going to happen, they inserted Shelby, and then you think, oh, they're going to go ahead with the Four Horsemen versus Four Horsewomen, only to break up Charlotte and Becky, and then you're like, so what was the whole point of this other thing? Those two things didn't go together, and now you've just wasted close to a full year of build for nothing, so they can just hug it out. Wow. It's so underwhelming. That's the Roman Reigns story of the year for me. Believe that.
I mean, they could have done a little bit more with Becky and, not Becky, Bailey and Sasha. They could have had them do like a support group scene, some trust falls, have Bailey just tell this really out of nowhere dark story, and have Scorpio Sky sitting there looking at her going, you are so crazy and I am so scared of you.
I mean, at least Corey's not talking about how Bailey hasn't been kissed or some other garbage.
Speaking of really bad storylines, wasn't he supposed to be the first person she kissed?
Yep, that was a thing that was supposed to happen in a galaxy far, far away, apparently. There's a lot of things that just never quite happened. Do you think WWE's come to the... All right, this is a two-part question. Do you think WWE's come to its senses in that they're going to make Becky the face? And the second part of the question, and the more obvious one, is if they do that, how quickly before somebody will be like, and this was WWE's plan all along, even though we all know it wasn't.
Well, I'm going to answer these in reverse order. No, it was not the WWE's plan. They wanted to turn Becky heel. They wanted the crowd to boo her. And it backfired in their faces.
Per Brian James, nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. The fans just ripped him. He was like, well, you know, we booked it this way. And fans were like, yeah, well, you're full of shit, buddy. That was bad.
That was the best example of just don't get on Twitter. Just stay the fuck off of it.
It's like, don't say anything. I mean, people are no holds barred when it comes to social media.
Yeah, that was, and he had everything that came his way was warranted. I didn't feel bad for him. He shouldn't have said it.
Really? You should know better. I mean, you should know, as a former wrestler, he should have known better.
His whole family grew up in wrestling. Like, he knows, like, he's one of those people that just knows better. It'd be like Cody or Goldust, you know, doing something that idiotic. Like, no, you know better. So, that was horrible.
I mean, even Cody, right before All In, did an AMA on Reddit. And somebody asked him about, you know, how they booked Becky and Charlotte. And Cody's just like, I think it's insulting to the fans to book... Let the fans decide. It's insulting any other way, was basically what he said. And I'm like, stop insulting the fans. We're going to cheer for who we want and we're going to cheer for Becky because she was wronged. We see the favoritism on Charlotte's end.
Which is nice, though, because prior to this angle, the best part about this angle is that people, by and large, only a small part of fans were really calling WWE out for their favoritism towards Charlotte. Since this angle, that has like increased like 5-10 times as much of fans like, wait a second, Charlotte is given everything. So it has brought to light a serious wrongdoing, if nothing else.
Which leads me to my answer to your first question, which is, yeah, they can turn Becky face, because the crowd's already behind her anyways, and have Charlotte be the, yes, I'm self-entitled, and yes, you should kiss my feet, and yes, you fans should worship me and not, you know, understand that I earned this, not that I was given it. But if you feel that way, that's your problem.
And that's the way, that's the best Charlotte can do right now. Because she can play that role. It doesn't require too much acting. She wouldn't have to, you know, cut horrible promos. She could be more natural. That's really the most acceptable thing Charlotte can do. The inherent problem then becomes, if they do the turn, obviously we want Becky to get the title, but long term, what makes more sense?
Becky to Chase.
Yeah, Becky to Chase for a while. She has to chase if they pull the double switcheroo. They cannot immediately reward us. They have to reward us, but make us work. Wait for it. Absolutely.
And I think that's the best approach. I don't think at Hell in a Cell the title's going to change. This is going to build for a while. A long while. I don't think it's going to happen at Evolution. We're going to see this happen, but it's going to happen after a proper storytelling build. They have gold here. They already know it. They just need to pull the trigger.
This is by far the best thing that they've done women's storytelling-wise. Is it possibly, like, all year? I mean, they haven't really told many good stories this year.
No, this is the best story. I mean, they had the start of something amazing with Sasha and Bayley, and they've ruined it. Which, you and I both know, they're probably going to screw this up, too.
Yeah, I feel that Sasha and Bayley should just come out and manage the revival. That would just... just get the fuckery just completely. Everybody that we like to fuck in one segment. Here you go.
And what's sad is all four individuals are so talented. It's so bad.
It's awful. Absolutely awful. All right, we can probably get going on our wrap-up segments, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we beat the dead horse that is this week enough.
Yeah, next week's the preview episode, right?
Yes, it is.
All right, I'll try to get Steve for that.
Sounds good. So let's talk next week. Speaking of next week, and let's do our segment. I'm not finished with you yet, where we talk about what we're looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to more Bella Baches.
I'm looking forward to seeing the Bar versus Rusev Day.
Yeah, that's going to be good.
I hope so. I really hope so. Not looking forward to much else. Nothing on Raw really standing out right. Isn't it weird how the show, in the beginning of the year, Raw was probably the number one, and now it's completely switched tides again. So weird.
It's the Paige factor. SmackDown got better as soon as Paige went over to SmackDown.
Daniel Bryan wasn't that great of a GM. Paige is still basically kind of the same character, but she does it better in a lot of ways. The only thing that they're missing now, and you know, you have an idea that I'm going to go talk about it because it's talking smack. That would just bring everything back.
Yeah, if there was only, what, a 30-minute after SmackDown show where everything can be just discussed.
And move angles and let you know, the wrestlers actually talk and maybe let the fans get to know them and maybe form new favorites. Yeah, that would be amazing.
And business. I know one person who would be completely on board with bringing that show back.
Yeah. I'm assuming it's a she?
Yes, she misses that show very much, I bet.
I think that was like her first really big project, and she nailed it. So, yeah, they really should, but they won't. Alright.
Alright, let's play Guess the Wrestler. For our listeners, let me explain to you the rules of Guess the Wrestler. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler. This week, it's Kent's turn. And it's up to me and whoever else is here, if there is anyone else here, but it's up to me to figure out who that wrestler is using 9 guesses And nope, 9 questions and 2 guesses. Wow. Take 1 week off, completely forget the rules of Guess the Wrestler, but I'm not going to botch this. Like a Bella, there are 2 gimme question answers. I still botch that. Just call me. Just to start calling me Brie.
Well, you know, I got thinking about, like, 1 week it would be so interesting to just only get 2 questions and take 9 guesses just to see how bad it goes.
We should totally do that. Oh my gosh, let's do that when Russ comes back.
Fantastic. That could be fun, I think. All right, I'll give you your gimmies. It is a he, and just want to make sure. Yeah, he's a former wrestler.
What promotion is he known for?
I would say he spent a lot of... He had a lot of different spots. Probably most known for WCW, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been in several other promotions.
Any titles held?
Yes. He has held... like, I'll tell you, the biggest championship held was WCW United States Championship. So that's pretty good.
Okay. Any siblings?
Yes.
Did the sibling wrestle?
Yes. You're asking the right questions today. Look at that.
Because I think I know who it is.
After all these months, have you been paying attention?
Yep. Does this individual have a rather interesting gimmick?
Interesting gimmick.
But maybe interesting is the wrong word.
Yeah, give me a different question because I don't know how to answer that.
Is he known more for his gimmick than his name?
No.
Okay. Has he been involved in wrestling recently?
No.
And now I completely don't know who this is.
Well, okay.
Okay, let's narrow this down even more. Have I mentioned him this evening?
I don't think you mentioned him by name, no. I have. But that's something I always try to do.
How many questions do I have left? Because now I have a big question mark over my head, and I don't know what I don't know.
I think you have like 3 or 4 more to go. We'll go with 4.
Hair color.
Blonde. Now, keep in mind, I told you were on the right track after certain types of questions.
The sibling one was one of the ones that I thought was I was on the right track.
So maybe you try to identify that.
I am again completely blanking. This is horrible.
I'm curious, who did you think it was when you initially were on your hot streak?
Lanny Poffo.
Oh. That would have been good. Shit, I didn't even think about that.
Trying to think who else was mentioned tonight.
Well, you also gotta remember that... okay, you know WCW. I don't know if it would help to figure out maybe Era? Or...
Yeah.
Era or Siblings is going to be your best... Siblings is really the key that will help you the most. I just don't know how you get that... ask that question.
That really took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah.
I got nothing.
All right, figure out the era.
Probably Attitude Era, right?
Yeah. Attitude and a little beyond Ruthless Aggression Era, I guess. So, a combination of those two. So, that tells you he's old now, but I mean, not Lanny Poffo old. As a matter of fact, right around our age... apparently. Because I think you and I are same age.
Yep.
Yeah. I can also tell you, because I only partially answered one of your questions, he also was a tag team champion in WCW. But I fear the U.S. was the bigger accomplishment. I can tell you that he had a valet. And I can't tell you that... See, without you knowing that era incredibly well, especially on the WCW side, talk about any angles doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help you in any way. But if you can figure out the family... I mean, I'm surprised you haven't asked me if, like, they're Samoan or something.
Well, usually blonde hair doesn't indicate Samoan.
Call. Unless you're Rikishi.
Right, right.
Right.
Dang it. This is really bothering me that I can't get this.
Since I know you're not cheating like Russ, I'll tell you something that I did find funny. This gentleman's residence is currently in Shelby, North Carolina.
Huh.
We talked about Dr. Shelby earlier, so I found that interesting.
Again.
I can tell you that two of his family members have been heavily involved in wrestling, and another one did have some experience, but not as much as the other two.
Well, now we're talking like wrestling families that have some depth. Which... So you got the Hearts, the Von Erichs. Ugh. Flares. This is hard. This is very hard.
I could give you one word and I think you would get it, but...
At this point, we might as well.
All right. Actually, you were thinking the right way. You absolutely are. So I would say you probably hit on it while saying it. You weren't wrong in what you just said.
Well, let's. Blonde hair is predominantly a flair trait.
It is.
David Flair?
There you go.
Oh, wow.
I brought him up earlier.
That's right. I was like thinking back and I was like, wait, he did mention him.
Yep. I was like, originally I was going to go Daphne and I'm like, no, I'm going to go David Flair. If she can get onto the right track, she can figure it out. My one word hint was going to be nepotism.
Yeah, that usually we associate with a flair.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that was rough, but it had a happy ending.
It did.
So, Kit, any announcements for our listeners?
Yeah, let's see. This week, well, last night, Mayans MC started and the Purge TV series started. So, blogs will be up for that this week, as well as Fear the Walking Dead. And then next week, American Horror Story starting back up. So then there will be blogs with that. And come the end of September, the Nine Deuce Horror Group is going to not only have their film of the month, they will be doing a top five list. And this month for September, the top five will be best theme songs in horror. So that will be fun. And to go even a little bit further, we are going to be doing another podcast, me and Chris Theophilus, and it will be horror-based, and it'll be once a month. It'll be based on the top five list, and we're just going to kind of expound on what people gave us for answers as well as our own thoughts. It'll probably be like an hour and a half type podcast. I don't know if we're keeping the same name or if we're going to do a different name. I don't know yet. So lots of stuff going on. I will say this. I don't think I said it last podcast because I don't think I'd rewatched it. I rewatched Mohawk with Luke Harper. Much better the second time once I got used to the fact that the dialogue was going to be stupid. Much better, enjoyable experience. What was not an enjoyable experience was I found the film Unsane that came out this year, directed by Steven Soderbergh, guy who did Ocean's 8, Traffic, The Nick, done a lot of stuff. I expected great things. It was like a psychological horror, I guess, like a lady basically gets checked into a mental ward involuntarily and feels that she's being stalked. Had high hopes, had good reviews on IMDb. I personally think it was way worse than Get Out, and that, you know, I'm not a fan of Get Out. I thought this movie was laughable. The lead female, the story is that she moved, she's like a 20-some-year-old girl, moved away from her home in Boston to someplace in Midwest. I don't remember where, Chicago or something like, you know, someplace in the Mid. When she's talking, at times all of a sudden I was like hearing something like, she's not from America, I don't think. Looked her up. She is from Britain. She's British. She actually plays Queen Elizabeth in the Netflix series, I think it's called Just the Queen, if I'm not mistaken. So she has a big role, but her accent keeps coming out in the film in which she's living in the Midwest but spent like all of her life basically in Boston. And this British accent keeps coming out instead. There's no semblance of a Boston accent, which she would still have indications of that at the very least. But no, British accent keeps coming through. I'm like, why didn't they refilm it? It hurts the whole flow. It takes away some of the credibility of it. And then there's one other thing, and spoiler alert, not really. Towards the end, she makes her escape from her attacker. And she basically runs the whole way out of where she is into like what she thinks is a safe place. After slicing this man's throat, didn't quite kill him because you never kill him with the first thing. Within 3 seconds, this guy just shows up from behind. I'm like, So you tell me this guy got his throat sliced. Was it behind her when she looked all the way down the hallway? Didn't see him, but he caught up to her in less than 3 seconds. There was no realism to any of this. There was nothing. It was painful. If you've never seen Unsane and you wanted to see it, avoid it. I know it's free on Amazon Prime. Avoid it. Spend your time watching something else, like Stir of Echoes. Because I watched that to get the nasty taste of Unsane out of my mouth. And watching Kevin Bacon drink lots of orange juice and do crazy things was way more satisfying. As Eric would say, Stir of Echoes is everything that The Sixth Sense wished it could have been. I agree. So.
Sounds like things to avoid.
Avoid Unsane, please.
Sounds like a plan. But you know what our listeners should not avoid?
Is what our website. What is that? Oh, yeah? Where's that?
9deuce.com.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of which, I may be redoing that whole site soon.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of stuff on the horizon, people.
Well, check that out. Wait for those announcements. We'll be announcing those changes as they come on the podcast. And if you're listening to this podcast and you like what you hear, hit that subscribe button wherever you're hearing our podcast right now. Probably iTunes. And with that, for Kent and myself, we wish you all a good night. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. I'm going to eat some tacos.
Ooh, tacos do sound good.